Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to talk with you about securing the promises of God. Do you realize that the Word of God is filled to overflowing with promises of God for your everyday life? Many Christians are deceived in the sense that they feel that the promises of God that are in the Bible will just come upon them as the Lord wills. And yet, the Scriptures speak to us and tell us otherwise. We have to go after the promises of God that we find richly described in the Scripture. For the Lord has indeed said to us that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You must diligently seek God and seek Him out for all that He says with regard to your personal life. He wants you to take a hold of the promises that He has richly made for you. But it is up to each individual to pursue the Lord, to diligently seek God, to ask Him, God, show me your precious promises and show me how to take a hold of these gifts that you have promised to me. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we find this beautiful scripture. It says, thereby He has granted us His exceeding great and precious promises, in order that through them you may become sharers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is now in the world by reason of lustful passions. The first part of that verse says, He has granted us exceeding great and precious promises. In the J.B. Phillips translation, it says, it is through this generosity that God's greatest and most precious promises have become available to us men. God's precious promises have become available to you and I. The Message translation says it this way: we were also given absolutely terrific promises. That's a great description of what God has for each of us. Absolutely terrific promises. And these promises are for you personally, and they are given for a purpose, which we'll discuss in a moment. And they are promises which are for this lifetime. David said in Psalm 27, verse 13, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Many Christians do not feel like the promises of God are necessarily for this lifetime. Promises for joy and for peace and for victory and for success in life. Somehow they have been taught or misunderstood the Scriptures and feel that they are for perhaps eternity. Perhaps they're for the sweet by and by. Maybe those promises of joy and happiness are for heaven only. But David, the psalmist, was very clear. He said, I would have fainted unless I believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's talking about the here and now, not the sweet by and by. He's talking about where he lived. He said he would have fainted. He would have lost hope. He would have lost heart if he did not believe that he would see God's goodness in his own life. And he had faced much adversity, and yet he said he held on and he did not faint because he did believe that God's goodness would come to him in this lifetime. That's what God wants each of us to take a hold of today. I was speaking with a good Christian brother just recently, and I was amazed at his lack of understanding on this subject. I was trying to encourage him along the lines of God's desire to bless him in his life, though he had recently been through a very difficult season, a painful divorce, ending up with the sole custody of their only child. And I was trying to encourage him that God's a redeemer. He's a restorer. He's the one with resurrection power. He can resurrect even dead dreams. He can bring a blessing where there seems to have been nothing but desolation. And in my attempts to encourage him to take a hold of God's love and favor towards him and his desire to bring forth a blessing out of the ashes of his life, he simply said to me, God doesn't owe me anything. And his theology was very simply that he didn't necessarily believe that the goodness of the Lord was for the land of the living, that it was perhaps for heaven or for eternity. And I was quite grieved and felt that there must be so many Christians who also think along those same lines, though to me the scripture seems so clear. If King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, made this statement that he would have fainted unless he believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I believe that that's a word for each of us today. We need to have that same hope and faith, believing that God's goodness is intended for our lives today. His promises are for this lifetime. His promises are for you. Now, God gives his promise for a purpose. In 2 Peter 1:4, the second part of the verse, it says that he had given us these precious promises in order that through them you may become sharers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is now in the world by reason of lustful passions. God gives his promises to us so that through them we may become sharers in his divine nature, or we might become partakers of the divine nature. And I believe that this is the very heart of God towards us. He doesn't want us to live like the world. It says that the world is corrupt because of lustful passions in the earth. He doesn't want us to be ones who participate in the corruption of the world, but these promises are for us to help us to be partakers of the divine nature, meaning having the God life inside of us so that we can not walk in the corruption of the world. We can take a hold of the promise of victory over sin. We can take a hold of the promise of God's forgiveness when we do fall. We can take a hold of the promise that we can walk in holiness and many other promises like that in the Word of God. They are for us in the here and now. Now, to secure the promises of God, it's very, very important to find out what God's conditions are that are attached to each and every promise you'll find in the Scriptures. For example, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we find this promise, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We live in a time when we need desperately for God to heal our land. And God's promise to heal the land comes with a condition. If my people, the people who know and love God, will humble themselves. If my people who know God will pray. If my people will turn from their own wicked ways. He's referring to his own people. If they'll turn from their wickedness, the participation in the corruptness of the world, however small or great degree it may be. If my people will do these things and cry out, then God says he'll hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Every promise of God comes with a condition. We must examine it, find out what it is, take a hold of it, and then we can participate in that promise and we can find it coming to pass in our lives. A promise that I love dearly in 1 John 1:9 talks about, "For the Christian, that God extends his forgiveness when we confess our sins. It's as if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. But we have to confess our sins to God. We can't just say, oh, God will cover that with his grace. He forgives me. He knows I'm weak. No, we have to go to God continuously. That's the condition for receiving the promise. And those are just two examples, but all the promises of Scripture come with conditions that we must observe. With the grace of God and with the help of God, then we can take a hold of and apprehend and have for our very own lives the promise of God that we so desire with our heart and God so desires to give us. But let me give you two other conditions that are vital. We must ask in faith when we go to God about a promise we find in his word. James 1:6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Unbelief will rob you of what God has for you. In Matthew chapter 13, in the very last verse, it says, "And Jesus did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief." There was the potential for miracles to happen because they had Jesus in their midst. Why then did they not get a hold of these miracles in this particular area? It says because of their unbelief. There are miracles, there are promises for each of us, but why do so many Christians not ever take a hold of them? I would say to you, it's because they don't even believe God for the promise, either because they're deceived and say, oh, I don't deserve it. There's not a promise of God in the Word of God that any of us deserve. His promises are not earned. They are given to us by his love and grace, and we must not come to him looking for those things because we deserve them. We go to him because he's full of grace and love for us, but he wants us to believe that he desires to give them to us. And last of all, it says, after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Hebrews 10:36. We have to be doing the will of God in order to receive those promises. So be careful to make sure your life is lined up with God's will. That's all the time we have for today. Join me tomorrow as we continue studying the promises of God for everyday life. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.